Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter, where Jesus says, "The poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Please be seated. As I mentioned earlier, the theme of Gaudete Sunday is rejoice. And possibly you've noticed the theme in the hymns and in the readings of the thought of rejoice. But when we look at our gospel lesson, John's sitting in prison. You wouldn't think John had a whole lot to be rejoicing about. Like the Old Testament prophets before him, John was not one to shy away from confrontation. He was bold in preaching the truth in law and gospel, but he particularly gave the law to King Herod, calling him out for marrying his brother's sister. In anger, Herod had John arrested and threw him into prison. Reading from our text, "Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another?'" Ever since St. Matthew recorded his gospel, theologians have debated on the exact reason why John sent his disciples back to Jesus to ask this question. There are two schools of thought. One is that while John's languishing in prison, he becomes depressed. He doubted that Christ was the one who was to come. He didn't think Jesus looked like the one that he was preparing the way for. John had been making the path straight for the one who was coming with a winnowing fork to separate the wheat from the chaff on the threshing room floor, gathering the faithful away from the unfaithful chaff and cutting off the unfruitful branches and throwing them into eternal fire. John baptized with water, but he knew that the one who was to come would baptize with fire and spirit. Yet when he looks at Jesus, Jesus is humble. He healed the sick, drove out demons, but his kingdom did not look like a kingdom of power. It did not look like that kingdom of judgment, but a kingdom of humility and gentleness. And this caused John to doubt. The other school of thought is that John sent his disciples to question Jesus for John's disciples' sake, to reassure them that, yeah, I'm sitting here in prison, but you don't need to be looking at me. You need to be focusing on Jesus. He is the Messiah, the promised one that you had been waiting for. John had witnessed the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus in his baptism. He heard the Father's testimony from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." John knew that he must decrease and Jesus must increase. John didn't want his disciples going out and starting their own religious sect, but to follow Jesus, trusting in this humble miracle worker that he was indeed the Messiah sent by God to save mankind. So, which theory is it? Well, regardless of which theory it is, whether the question was for John himself or his disciples, the fact remains John's sitting in prison. And so are you and I. You and I are sitting in our own prison of sin and unbelief. And our only escape is focusing on Jesus, having faith that Jesus has come in our stead and going the way of the cross. You and I going the way of the cross, for the way of the cross is the way of the kingdom of God. The way of the cross is a stark reversal to human reason. It's the hidden way of humility and mercy instead of pride and self-centeredness. It's weakness instead of power, where victory comes through defeat. The way of the cross is suffering for the sake of Christ, where life comes from dying and rising again. Now, this way of the cross sounds like upside down thinking to you and me, because indeed it is where the one who was sent to prepare the way for the Savior is sent to prison and beheaded for calling out a king's immorality. And the one who was sent to save mankind, he gets crucified for bringing God's reign to earth. It doesn't seem rational. It's not the way that you and I would do things. Yet this fellow redeemed is why our gospel text this morning is reason to rejoice. In our intro this morning, you heard the words, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." These words were written by St. Paul to the Christians in Philippi. Paul wrote those words while he was in prison, waiting to be executed for preaching the gospel. Yet, while he knew that death was near, he still proclaimed that for him to live is Christ and to die is gain. You see, there's reason to rejoice even for the one in prison. Unlike John the Baptist and St. Paul, you are not sitting behind prison bars, but that doesn't remove you from your prison. Perhaps your prison is loneliness, or being bullied, or maybe being harassed for your faith in Jesus. John and St. Paul definitely knew what those were like. But possibly your prison is your deteriorating body, broken by the effects of original sin, arthritis, poor eyesight, heart disease, memory loss, and cancer. In your prison, you suffer attacks from the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh, pushing you to cling to the comfort of your own private and public sins, which you stubbornly refuse to turn away from in contrition and repentance. Your prison causes you to doubt and despair as you look around the world as it's a state of affairs, when you believe that your prayers are not being answered, when you become bored with worship, or when you get frustrated with the realities of living as a sinner and saint just down the pew from another sinner and saint that you disagree with. Right in the midst of all this desperation and misery, you're tempted to cry out to God and say, "God, is this Jesus the one who was to come? Is he the one, or should I look for another?" Maybe you want to cry out, "God, are you really up there? Is there really a God? Because I'm hanging on by a thread here, and this preacher's up here telling me to rejoice when I don't have a thing to rejoice about. It looks like I'm wasting my time with religion." Take heart, my friends. There is reason to rejoice even for those in prison. Jesus gave John's disciples signs to look for, signs to cling to, signs of faith, signs which had been prophesied by Isaiah. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. Jesus' miracles served as signs that God's kingdom and reign has indeed come to earth. It's the dawn of gladness and joy, even in the midst of misery and sadness and prison. The chief of Jesus' signs that he told John's disciples to look for is fulfilled from Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 61. Isaiah prophesied, "The poor have good news preached to them." Now, the poor does not refer to your cash on hand or your retirement account, but it's referring to your spiritual condition. Those of you who are poor in spirit. Those are those of us who are sheep, lost and harassed. We're sinners who need to be called to repentance and be forgiven. Having the good news preached means to preach gospel, Christ crucified for sinners. The preaching that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The preaching of the gospel to the poor is indeed the chief sign, because God never promised to remove you from the effects of your temporal and mortal prison, namely persecution, temptation, and physical disease. Be patient, therefore, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord, for Jesus promises to come again. He promises to come to you and to all the poor and all the imprisoned in the preaching of his gospel, strengthening you in whatever circumstance and prison you find yourself in. Yes, there is reason to rejoice, even for the one in prison. And the devil knows that. That's why the devil goes all out at trying to stop the preaching of the gospel, trying to pervert the gospel into a false gospel. John the Baptist was a faithful preacher. We see where preaching the gospel got him. He was murdered by a corrupt king. Saint Stephen, he was the first martyr. He was a loyal follower of Jesus, but he was murdered by an angry crowd because he preached the gospel to them. Paul was murdered by Nero. They stoned the prophets, murdered the apostles, and faithful preachers today get thrown out of their calls and take all kinds of flack for faithfully preaching the gospel before sending Jesus' disciples on their way. He said, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Another way of translating this is, "Whoever is not caused to stumble because of me is blessed." In the original language, this word for offended and stumble is scandalizo. You're scandalized. The one who is caused to stumble and be scandalized and offended is the one who is led into unbelief. Blessed is the one who does not stumble over the fact that Christ is the Messiah. Blessed is the one who gladly hears the gospel proclaimed. How is one offended and caused to stumble? Well, it's by listening to the lies of the devil, the lies of the false prophets, by not gladly hearing and learning the word of God, by avoiding the gospel where it is purely proclaimed, and by denying that you indeed need a Savior. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord is coming. It's time to repent and prepare the way. Christ Jesus is coming. He is the coming one. Look for no other. He has secured your place in heaven in his eternal kingdom. And your king comes to you humble in his humble means to rescue you from your prison, leading you in the way of the cross. Christ gave John's disciples signs to hang their hat on, to cling to with their faith. And he has given you greater signs. The empty tomb is your sign. Jesus went the way of the cross. He suffered and died. He was buried and descended into hell to proclaim victory over sin, death, and the grave. And on the third day, he rose again for your justification. Baptism is your sign. At the font, you were buried into Christ's death, bestowing upon you faith in the Holy Spirit. And just as sure as Christ's tomb is empty, on the last day, you too will be raised to new life, when Christ will redeem you from this body and temporal misery that you suffer in, the prison of pain, weakness, and disease. Holy absolution is your sign. By contrition and repentance, confess your sins and receive the absolution, believing that the absolution is God's words himself, and you are forgiven before him in heaven. Being forgiven, then you can go on and live in your baptismal grace, knowing that in baptismal waters you died to your old self, your sins have been put to death, and then you can allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in your life, to free you from the bondage of your favorite sins. The preaching of the gospel is your sign. Faith comes through hearing and through hearing the words of Christ, creating and sustaining that faith within you when you're lost in your prison of anxiety, doubt, and despair, and in loneliness. The Lord's holy sacrament of the altar is your sign, receiving Jesus' very own body and blood while faithfully clinging to his words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. You are forgiven, and you are preserved in the true faith as you go the way of the cross. And as you go the way of the cross, you can rightfully proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again to lift you out of this veil of tears, to lift you out of your earthly prison and carry you into the life that is to come. Brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice greatly. Behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.